not available in all areas.
Welcome in and welcome back to hour number two of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, getting you ready for high school football tonight coming your way on all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. We'll be live at Cedar Rapids Prairie. Scott Unash on the call there. And 106.3 FM, we'll hear a familiar voice at Iowa City High as the Little Hawks welcome Davenport North to town. Alex Kuhn calling the action there. Davenport North, any good this year?
2-6.
Yeah, they're never. They going back to almost 20 years ago when I was in school, they weren't very good at football. But
some things don't change.
Some things don't change. And you know, I don't know why the Davenport schools aren't much better at football, but actually I do know why, but because a lot of the talent tends to wind up at other schools. 319-366-1600, that's the Hertine and Stocker text line. Use it to reach out to us. Don't forget, vote in the poll question today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. It's available for you at KGYMradio.com. Who will the Dodgers face in the World Series this year? We will know come Monday. We may know later on tonight, a little bit after 6 o'clock at Minute Maid Park in Houston. First pitch between the Astros and the Yankees. I still see Justin Verlander's name, and my mind immediately goes to the Detroit Tigers, who, by the way, do have a new manager today, Ron Gardenhire, officially introduced on a three-year deal. Plenty more to come. We're going to talk a lot more baseball with Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, set to join us at the bottom of the hour for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. And then in hour number three, it's another big hour brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be here with me. If I am stumbling and bumbling like this already, I am going to be a hot mess tomorrow with a early wake-up call for the drive to Evanston, and Rob is tagging along with me. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that tonight in the final hour. Former Hawkeye punter Ron Caluzzi will be our guest tonight. In the meantime, it's Friday, and that means it's time for Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm okay. Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Alex, Nate Stanley's return.
We've been talking all week about this Iowa matchup with Northwestern coming off the bye week. And Kirk Ferentz and the players talked about, and even the assistant coaches and Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker, mostly Brian Ferentz when it comes to rush offense, obviously. But they've talked about wanting to get the running game going. It hasn't been good enough from a yards per carry standpoint. It hasn't gotten going early in the game or often enough for this team to really get to where they want to get. The question is, will it get going against the Northwestern Wildcats? I don't think it's going to. I look at Northwestern as a team who is 37th in the country against the run, giving up only about 125 yards per game. They really stifled Saquon Barkley, and this is a team that sells out against the run. The good news for the Iowa Hawkeye offense is that they are 100th out of 130 in the country in pass defense. This is going to be a huge opportunity for Nate Stanley and those wide receivers to beat man coverage, because Nate is going to have guys open. And if he can hit them, then he will be able to. He's been a little bit pedestrian since that Iowa State game. He's had some ups and downs against North Texas and Penn State and Michigan State and Illinois. I think this could be a much more consistent game against a Northwestern team who is not very good against the pass. So I love the fact that this might be Nate Stanley's return to effectiveness against Northwestern.
Number two.
The Big 20, Todd.
If you missed it yesterday, the Big Ten made official what we've known for quite a while, and that's the fact that starting next year, we're going to be looking at a 20-game conference schedule on the men's side. On the women's side, it'll be going from 16 games to 18 games. And coaches, including Iowa's Fran McCaffrey, big fans of this move, and I am too. It's going to, I think, help strengthen the schedule, RPI. You're going to see meaningful games earlier in the season. We're going to get a taste of that this year with Big Ten play right out of the gate in early December before sliding back into non-conference play. And with Iowa's other obligations, like the Hy-Vee Classic in Des Moines, the Cyhawk Series, their Big Ten ACC Challenge, the Gavitt games, the tip-off games with the Big East schools, and you throw in an exempt tournament every now and again, there's only going to be maybe four open spots every year on Iowa's non-conference schedule. That's going to eliminate the need for a lot of games against teams like Chicago State, North Dakota, Omaha, even though Omaha, the Mavericks, came into Carver-Hawkeye Arena last year and beat the Hawkeyes. It's going to make the schedule better for the fans. Better games on TV, better games to see in person, and I think it's going to benefit the conference and its members in the long run. Love this move.
Number three.
Lonzo Ball, meet Patrick Beverley.
The number two overall pick, the Los Angeles Lakers, and somebody we've been talking about all offseason, Lonzo Ball, not necessarily him, but more about his dad, LeVar, made his NBA debut against the Los Angeles Clippers, and let's just say that it didn't go so well. And if you are a NBA point guard and a young one at that, one that's 19, 20 years old, the last person you want to have your NBA debut against is Patrick Beverley. A five-year point guard out of Arkansas who prides himself on being one of the most physical defenders in the league, being a pest, and being a guy who verbally will get in your head. And that's exactly what he did to Lonzo Ball last night. It was 48 minutes of Patrick Beverley kicking Lonzo Ball around the court. And this is not unexpected. I knew that there was going to be a target on this kid's back based on the target that was put on his back by his dad. So one of two things is going to happen with his career, because he's going to get extra emphasis that no rookie in the last 10 years gets from other teams. Players who have been in the league for a long time, who don't like the attention that he's getting, are going to take pride in kicking his butt. There is no two ways about that. You look earlier in the offseason where Joel Embiid was saying that he wanted Ben Simmons to dunk on Lonzo Ball so badly that his dad runs on the court. This is going to be an ugly season for Lonzo Ball. And if he responds and is mentally tough enough, then you might have something. The Lakers might have something. If he curls up in the fetal position, we're going to know right away how his NBA career is going to go. Usually with these rookies, you don't know what they're going to look like for 2 or 3 years. I think we're going to have a very good idea of at least the toughness of this kid after year one. So I love the fact that Lonzo Ball right away got his welcome to the NBA gift. The problem with him is he's going to be scrutinized like no other rookie and no other second-year player has been.
Number four.
All right, Todd, at this point, it's L.A. all the way.
I got to agree with this one and say I love it. The Dodgers looked very good in that series against the Cubs, winning in five games, and now they sit back and wait for either the Yankees or the Astros. Neither one of those two teams has the bullpen to match up with what Dave Roberts can trot out there. And in the World Series, you're going to face Clayton Kershaw in at least two of those games with that lineup and the probable return of Corey Seager at shortstop, although Charlie Culbertson certainly acquitted himself quite nicely out there as well. The Dodgers certainly look as if they are following the path of last year's Cubs team. This is going to be the team to beat at this point, and they were the best team in baseball for much of the season. They had that little tiny hiccup, and they're back to playing the way that they were most of the year. What an impressive team, and it's going to be fun to watch this World Series. If it's the Dodgers and the Yankees, it's going to be a throwback to World Series past. It's the most commonly matched World Series in baseball history, and if it's the Dodgers and the Astros, I think you've got the two most exciting teams to watch in the postseason. So I don't think Major League Baseball can lose either way, but if it's the Dodgers and the Yankees, look out, sit back, and have some fun. Clayton Kershaw against Aaron Judge. It's going to be a good one. Love it.
Number five.
Sticking with baseball, a make-or-break offseason for the Cubs.
The Chicago Cubs last night eliminated from the NLCS, having made it to the NLCS for the third consecutive year. And after last year's World Championship, I think baseball fans looked at that young core of players and thought, this is a group that's going to stick around for a long time. And and they're absolutely right about that. You have they have guys like Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Kyle Schwarber who and Wilson Contreras and Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras or excuse me, Addison Russell who will stick around for quite a long time. The question always with this group was what is the pitching staff going to look like or how quickly is the pitching staff going to age? And going into this offseason, there are some question marks with that pitching staff. Jake Arrieta is probably not going to return to the Chicago Cubs. John Lackey is going to retire. So right now, the starting pitchers heading into next year, you know there that it will be John Lester, Jose Quintana, and Kyle Hendricks. Not to mention the bullpen, which really struggled in the playoffs, and I think that they really need to add another on-base bat to that lineup. So you look at the rest of the NL Central, the Milwaukee Brewers are within striking distance. The St. Louis Cardinals are also kind of in a make-or-break offseason. They're going to have to go out and make some moves. If the Cubs can go out and address all those areas, I think they can stand pat with where they are in the NL Central, meaning winning 90-plus games and competing for that top spot in the NL Central. However, if they stand pat and don't do much this offseason, you could see another very close race come next season. So I love the fact that this is a big offseason for the Chicago Cubs because, unlike last year, they have a lot of areas that they need to address.
Number six.
All right, Todd, pack it in, Packers fans.
I am going to love this, even though there are now reports out that Aaron Rodgers could possibly return before Christmas. I'll believe that when I see it. Rodgers being placed on injured reserve today by Green Bay. The best-case scenario is that the Packers can go 4-3 over the next seven games with Brett Hundley under center, and then Rodgers somehow magically returns and leads the Packers to the victory and into the postseason. I think that's a little pie in the sky at this point. Remember, this time the broken collarbone is on the throwing shoulder, his right side. They don't have much of a running game. I can't see the receivers having the same success with Brett Hundley as they had with Aaron Rodgers. And defensively, this team has shown its warts as well. Plus, you throw in the fact that the rest of the NFC North is pretty darn good with the Vikings and the Lions right there in the discussion, and even the Bears with Mitch Trubisky are going to make life interesting in that division. I hate to say pack it in the middle of October. It's very unusual to say that about Green Bay football, but this just doesn't seem like it's going to work out very well. And if there was a better option out there right now, say a quarterback that was familiar with the West Coast offense who could come in and maybe pick things up and give you a chance to win, well, I'm certainly sure that the front office would consider that. And they think Brett Hundley is the best option at this point. They want to showcase him and maybe turn him into a trade chip. That's fine, but it's going to come at the expense of the 2017 season. Leave it.
Number seven.
Iowa being predicted to finish 18th is eighth is understandable, but probably not accurate in men's basketball.
We got a text from Ryan, the food delivery guy, asking, am I missing something? I know the Big Ten is a tough conference, but I thought Iowa was going to be better this year. Doesn't sound like anybody thinks so. The Iowa Hawkeyes were predicted to finish eighth in the unofficial Big Ten preseason basketball poll. And the reason that's understandable is because the people voting in this are a lot of voters from around the conference. And what you see when you are a someone who doesn't follow the team week in and week out and isn't around the team is the fact that Peter Jok, the top scorer in the Big Ten, is gone. You don't take into account the fact that they played very well without him. You don't take into account the depth in the front court or the fact that Jordan Bohannon looks like a star in the making at point guard. Or the fact that, as Myron Metcalf said, yes, the defense was not great last year. The one thing that they were missing was a rim protector. That's exactly what Luka Garza and Jack Nungi will likely be at 6'11 in their true freshman season. This is a team, for people who have followed it, that has the ceiling to finish in the top four. And there's not a whole lot of difference between 5-9 and 1 or 2-4 in the Big Ten right now. So I wouldn't get too worked up if you're an Iowa fan preseason. You know what this team has the potential to do. You know the amount of talent that they have. And despite the fact that it's young, despite the fact that it's inexperienced, this team has a lot of potential. And they have the mentality. The one thing I said about these young guys is the first time that I went to Media Day and interviewed them, you just get that sense that the moment is not too big for them, that they're confident in their abilities, and we saw that time and time again, especially with Jordan Bohannon, who was able to make big shots late in games, and that's something that you can only build on if you are the Iowa Hawkeyes. So I love the fact that, yes, it's understandable that other media members picked Iowa to finish eighth, but they're probably not going to finish that low in the Big Ten.
The way I put, before we move on here, I answered back on the text line, there is not a whole lot of difference between the team that's going to finish fourth in the Big Ten this year and the team that's going to finish eighth.
Exactly.
There is very little room for error there. There are a lot of talented teams, and so one poll is going to say fourth, one place is going to say eighth. Just realize that there really isn't a whole lot of difference between those two teams.
Number eight.
Washington, D.C.
Dusty Baker out after three seasons as national skipper, two National League East titles, no World Series appearance, no World Series ring for Dusty. And you know, if you've listened to the program in the past, I'm not the biggest Dusty Baker fan in the world, but he is getting a raw deal here. The Nationals' ownership is cheap. That's the reason why Dusty even had the job to begin with. Remember, they were too cheap to hire Bud Black and to pay him what he was going to be asking for. Part of the reason why Bud Black wound up with the Colorado Rockies. And look what the Rockies did this year under Bud Black's on Bud Black's watch. They're too penny-pinching to go out and pay a manager. They got Dusty Baker. They wound up lucking into him. He did very well with them, but he didn't get them over the hump, and I know that's Dusty's MO, but Mike Rizzo, the general manager, wanted to bring him back for another year. The Nationals, since they moved from Montreal, have never had a manager for more than three seasons. Rizzo wanted the stability of Dusty Baker, and he was overruled by management. Who in their right mind would want to work for that franchise? I guess we'll find out, because they've got a managerial opening, but I'm going to leave that one.
Number 9.
Get your fantasy football rosters ready for Miller time.
I don't get to do this very often, but I feel it is my duty, since we have two fantasy football segments per week on local programming. And I know that even if you're in dynasty leagues, you can't necessarily go out and stash college prospects or before they're drafted, but there's a kid that played last night who plays for the University of Memphis by the name of Anthony Miller. And I've watched this kid play for the last 3 years, a former walk-on at wide receiver, a guy who I have absolutely no clue how he didn't get a scholarship to not just the best schools in the country, but even a non-Power 5 school like Memphis. He had to walk on to a 3-9 team, and all he has done is he broke all of Isaac Bruce's receiving records within the first 2 years of playing at the University of Memphis.
The Isaac Bruce?
The Isaac Bruce. And the question really becomes, when you get a non-Power 5 player, how do they perform when they play against top-level competition? So let's take a look. In 2015, he took on Ole Miss, 10 catches, 132 yards. He took on Ole Miss again in 2016, same stat line. In a win over Houston, 15 catches, 169 yards and two touchdowns. And then this year against UCLA, 9 catches, 185 yards, two touchdowns. And in a win against Houston last night, 10 catches, 178 yards and a touchdown. This guy shows up in big moments, and I think draft people are starting to realize his talent. Matt Miller of NFL Draft Scout said last night, Anthony Miller is the best route runner I've seen so far this year. Quick cuts, great body control, explosive speed. I saw Antonio Brown play when he was at Central Michigan, and there is nothing that he can do that Anthony Miller cannot do. Has a little bit of Steve Smith swagger to him, and he is just a guy that any NFL team is going to want on their team. I think he might be drafted as high as the late first round. doesn't fall past the third round, and he could make an impact on an NFL team right away. So if you're a fantasy football owner, you're welcome. You heard it here first. Get ready for Miller time next year because he's coming.
I was really hoping you were going to be talking about Lamar Miller there. Now I'm bummed.
Number 10.
All right, Todd. Tomorrow, early wake-up calls.
Oh, are you freaking kidding me? Leave this. I got to pick Rob Howe, who's going to be joining us from HawkeyeNation.com, up at 5:30, which means I got to get out of Cedar Rapids by 5, which means I got to get up at about 4:45. You have no idea how quickly I can shower, especially that early. I am not a morning person. I hate early flights home. I try not to book them, and I hate having to leave early to drive someplace, sit there for several hours, work, and then I'm just a husk of a human body coming home. And not enough energy drinks in the world to get me through tomorrow. I hate early wake-up calls, but I will be in Evanston, Illinois tomorrow for Iowa and Northwestern, and I'll be calling back in from Ryan Field after the game is over and participating in After the Final Gun, which you can hear right here on our FM frequencies the minute that Iowa and Northwestern is in the books. How about that for synergy, and how about that for a way to close Love It or Leave It?
If you don't love it, leave it.
We're going to step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you and more. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM KGYM. Back after this.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning the power rate and ATM refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualified new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call in NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, are you stealing from the vending machine?
No, Mr. Employee of the Month.
Well, your desk is littered with, like, hundreds of snacks.
I merely exposed a loophole by reaching my arm through the flap thingy. Does that sound like stealing to you?
Yes.
Granola bar?
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
The High School Football Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Holmes Murphy, Finding Insurance Solutions. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead. Visit HOLMESMurphy.com.
5:27 on October the 20th. Welcome back in. It is a Friday edition of the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire, coming your way from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. Let's send it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle Mann's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
24/7 Sports released the midseason update to its top 247, which ranks the top players in all of college football. The highest ranked player from the state of Iowa was Iowa State cornerback Brian Peavy, ranked 106th, followed closely by Cyclone running back David Montgomery at 108, as well as receiver Alan Lazard coming in at 139. The lone Hawkeye is linebacker Josie Jewell at 129. Class of 2018 Ohio linebacker Michael Rose was in attendance for Iowa State's 45-0 victory over Kansas last weekend, and it must have made quite an impression on him because yesterday he flipped his commitment from Ball State to the Cyclones. Rose is 6'4 and 220 pounds and ranked as a three-star recruit by 24/7 Sports. The Rough Riders are off to a 1-2 start on the new season, and they're trying to get back to 500 tonight against the Lincoln Stars. That'll be at 7:05 at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school football, including a big one out at Prairie. Scott Unash will be on the call as the Prairie Hawks host Kennedy with the playoff spot on the line. That's going to be on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have Davenport North and Iowa City at City High. Alex Kuhn will call that one on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. And tomorrow we'll have the Cyclones at Texas Tech on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as our KGYM Iowa pre- and post-game shows on those FM frequencies. And if necessary, we will carry Game 7 of the ALCS on all three frequencies.
Are there playoff implications at Bates Field tonight with that game?
In a word, no.
Okay, I didn't think so, but wanted to ask anyway. I don't know if you have seen this or not, but Michigan State has announced that L.J. Scott is going to play tomorrow against Indiana. Scott was the running back that scored the game-winning touchdown against the Hawkeyes 2 years ago in Indianapolis at the Big Ten Championship game. He was arrested this week for the seventh time in the last 20 months on a driving-related charge, apparently stemming from the fact that he doesn't have a driver's license. Seven times he's been arrested in 20 months, and Mark D'Antonio says, yeah, no big deal, he's playing.
I think it was Dan Wolkin earlier today, I think of CBS Sports, who said, so basically Mark D'Antonio is giving him the license to play this week.
Oh.
Who doesn't take his keys away? Seven times?
I understand that these are minor infractions, as I understand it, but how can you have a player get arrested seven times and just no discipline at all?
Isn't it a law? It's a law in Missouri, three strikes in 1 year, and you get your license suspended, something like that. Seven times, though.
He's playing against Indiana this weekend, and we're going to break down all of the Big Ten contests coming up during the third and final hour of the show. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is with us. He's getting ready to slide into Alex's chair as Alex will make his way to the east side of Iowa City tonight for that Iowa City High Davenport North game. Jack Dom joining us next for his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. We'll talk Cubs, Dodgers, and more back after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by McDonald Optical, over 60 years of helping you see your world more clearly in downtown Iowa City and at the Iowa City Marketplace.
When you're looking for a new pair of glasses, it's nice to have a pair of locations to choose from. That's why McDonald Optical has two Iowa City locations. Stop and see McDonald Optical in their brand new space next to Panera, inside the Iowa City Marketplace on the east side of town. Or come to their tried and true store on South Clinton Street downtown. Schedule an eye exam with one of their excellent doctors. And find your next pair of glasses at one of McDonald Optical's pair of Iowa City stores. McDonald Optical. Eyewear as individual as you.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Yankees have more World Series trips than any other franchise with 40. A win tonight in Houston earns them a trip to Los Angeles. But to do it, they'll have to beat Justin Verlander, who hasn't lost since joining the Astros. Luis Severino starts for New York. The Yankees lead the series 3-2. And our Game 6 coverage starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Dusty Baker lasts only 2 years as manager of the Nationals. He will not be re-signed. The team won 192 regular season games and two division titles, but they were unable to advance in the playoffs, losing two ALDS Game 5 home games. Vikings linebacker Anthony Barr will not be fined for his hit that broke Aaron Rodgers' right collarbone Sunday, but he does get fined $9,000 for a headbutt on Devontae Adams. Rodgers goes on injured reserve today. Rockets point guard Chris Paul will likely be out 2 to 4 weeks with a bruised left knee. He first hurt that knee in a preseason game. Joel Embiid of the 76ers not cleared yet to play back-to-back games, so he'll sit out tomorrow in Toronto.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like being crushed by a massive linebacker.
Thanks!
Shanking the game-winning field goal.
Yes, I missed!
Finding hair in their nachos.
Tastes better.
And getting snapped with a wet towel in the locker room.
Ow, fun!
For everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
As compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance.
We've reached it, the point where the only way to make Tuesdays any better is by having more boneless wings. That's why here at Buffalo Wild Wings, we've invented Boneless Tuesdays. It's a celebration where if you order boneless wings at full price, you'll get another of the same size for free. This works for dine-in or takeout. Every little bit counts. And on Tuesdays, every boneless wing counts as two. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. Valid only on Tuesdays while supplies last. Tax and gratuity extra. Additional restrictions apply. See participating location for details.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My List that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
5:35, officially at the halfway point of the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We're at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Stop on in, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. We, at this point, has changed. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex Kuhn as he makes his way to the east side of Iowa City and Bates Field. And Rob will be with me tonight during the sixth and final hour when we talk with former Hawkeye punter Ron Caluzzi. Iowa getting ready to go to Evanston to take on the Wildcats tomorrow. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff at Ryan Field, and you can catch that game on ESPN2. Join us at 9 a.m. tomorrow on our FM frequencies for Before the Boom, coming your way on 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Right now joined on the stage by a guy who says 5 a.m. wake-up calls are nothing because he gets up earlier than that every day. Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom, what are you doing at 4:45 in the morning?
Well, I'm getting up for the day to go to work. And, you know, when you have weights at 6 o'clock in the morning, you have to drive to Cedar Rapids. You have to get up early. You got other things to do. And, you know.
Good so, God.
Are you one of these guys that gets by on, like, 5 hours of sleep?
No, I go to bed real early.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that's a good thing is – I don't have to make as many recruiting calls as I used to. I still make a lot, but a lot of texting the kids now. Yeah. So I don't have to stay up as late making phone calls. So it's that's kind of helped me a little bit. But I had a hard time with those 8 o'clock Cubs starts to see the end. In fact, I have to admit, maybe I didn't see some of them.
Well, speaking of seeing the end, we finally saw it last night at the hands of Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. And I think Joe Maddon put it best. We had the clip on the intro to the program today. The better team won that series. There's no doubt about that, and the Dodgers look almost unbeatable at this point.
Yeah, you know what? It can change from week to week, though. It's you know, going into the playoffs, we didn't think Cleveland would lose. Houston looked like they weren't going to be able to get beat. Now look what the Yankees are doing, and you know what? Each series is a little different, matchups, how you have your pitching set up. And you know what? The Dodgers were rested. The Cubs having the World Series hangover, I think that really affected them. They didn't have an opportunity to rest up and set their rotation for the playoffs like the Dodgers did, and it showed. It was a grind all year long for the Cubs. You have to give them some credit where, what, in the last 5 years, the team that won the World Series didn't even make the playoffs the next year, and the Cubs were able to do that. They're fortunate that no one ran away with their division, and they were able to win it late. But, you know, it was a grind for them all year long, and give them some credit for what they did. But they came up short from their goal, but it was a heck of a year. And, you know, they need to make some adjustments, need to get off to a better start next year, and solve that bullpen issue also.
Yeah, that would take me into the question. Now we go to the offseason here. Yeah. Bullpen is obviously a need, but they didn't hit the ball well in the postseason. What component of that lineup needs to be strengthened?
Well, you know what? They led the league in they scored the most runs in the league besides the Rockies. They had the highest on-base percentage. You know, they're a pretty good offense. The biggest thing is when you get to playoff time and it's a swing-and-miss team, I still think that leadoff guy that can get on base is a major, major component. Now, you look at the Astros, and we talked about this last week a little bit. You know, each year they've gotten better at cutting down their swings and misses and cutting down their strikeouts. They struck out less than any team in baseball. Now, all of a sudden, they're starting to panic a little bit. I think the biggest thing for the Cubs is really to get a little more of a set lineup, get these young guys more at-bats. I think what you're going to see is one of those core young guys, probably a guy that's in the outfield, is probably going to get traded for either a starting pitcher that you have for a few years or for a couple power arms in the bullpen that can really help them. You can always, you know, have a John Jay or somebody like that. I also think that they might try to make someone like a Robert or Almora a leadoff guy and try to get a set leadoff guy that might be able to steal some bases also. And or they might make some big trade where all of a sudden they get a speed guy that can really set the tone at the top of the lineup. I always think of the second baseman for the Marlins. D. Gordon. Not D. Brown. He's a slam dunk contest. you know, that would be a good fit for him. Somebody like that could set the table and give him a little something different from an offensive standpoint.
Well, if you're a Marlin, you're probably available this offseason. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. The other big question is, how do they address the rotation? Because Jake Arrieta most likely is going to command top dollar as a free agent. And the business model that Theo Epstein operates under usually dictates that you don't bring a guy back when they want that much money. And then you've got John Lackey, who's riding off into the sunset, cowboy hat and all. A couple openings in the rotation, and a big part of the reason why they went out and made that trade for Jose Quintana, who unfortunately wasn't at his best last night, but is still a very lucrative, controllable contract over the next couple years for them and a nice rotation piece.
Yeah, you know what? And if you can have Quintana be in that 3 or 4 spot, I think he's a tremendous asset. He's very his salary is very club friendly, which is very, very important. And you know, again, what's going to happen with Arrieta is they're going to be there and wait and see what the market is with Arrieta. The biggest thing though is, you know, they're not going to sit back on their hands. They're also going to be aggressively looking to make a trade for a frontline starter, you know, a guy that you have under control, very similar to Quintana. And then all of a sudden, that's when one of their young guys, if it's Happ, Schwarber. And I'm not saying they're going to trade. Somebody's going to end up going to leave because some of these guys need to get more at-bats. Instead of playing two-thirds of the time, they need to play in 145 games and get their 600 at-bats to continue to improve as a player and as a hitter. So there's going to be a trade in the works. The biggest thing is they'll probably be sitting in the weeds with Jake Arrieta. I guarantee you they've already had that contract said, hey, let us know what it's at. And if we can match it, we will. But I really believe it's going to be too high. One thing about Jake Arrieta is he's got life and movement on his fastball. So even as his fastball loses velocity, he's still going to be able to get outs because he's got pitchability. He might not have the dominant stuff. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how many years. I don't anticipate him being back. I think Wade Davis is a big key for him, getting him back. And then also two power arms that could be that seventh and eighth inning guys. You know, he had it pretty good in Kansas City. All he did is pitch the ninth inning. He was wore out by the end of the year, and you know what? They got to where they're at because what Wade Davis did throughout the season, but then also in the first round of the playoffs, and he was just fried by the end of the year.
Yeah, I guess I understand Theo's, you know, blueprint, and it's worked for him, so it's tough to second guess. But if you have a guy like Arrieta, who you know fits the clubhouse, he fits in the rotation. He's had some bumps the last few years, but overall he's been pretty consistent. Why let him go, and why try to bring somebody else in that you don't know what you're going to get?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the market is so crazy. You know, the market's not great for I forgot to look before I came in, but the market's not great for starting pitching. So somebody might overpay for Jake Arrieta. And, you know, we already have one bad contract in right field that's really, really bad. You got to be careful to make sure that you get the right one. So that's what they'll start examining right away, is if they can get a real quality starter under control for about 2 to 3 years and trade one of their young position players. That's what I kind of anticipate them doing. I think as far as setup guys and power arms, I think you can get those a little bit easier in free agency or a trade. But it's going to be interesting to see. They're very creative, and they know that bullpen's an issue. You know, Justin Wilson didn't work out. That's the one that really, really hurt them. That move, I thought, was going to really help them down the stretch, and that didn't pay off.
And he'll be there in that Cubs bullpen next year, and you just have to hope that he pitches a little bit better and things bounce back. Yeah. Jack Dom joining us, his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. The Dodgers back to the World Series for the first time in 29 years. And Alex and I were talking about this earlier today. Clayton Kershaw needed this on his resume. Otherwise, there was going to be that glaring hole going forward. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher, but you don't want to be a Hall of Fame pitcher without a World Series appearance. And this is really going to be an opportunity for him to shine on the big stage, probably at least two times against either the Yankees or the Astros. What runs through your head when you watch Kershaw pitch? I was watching him last night, and I can't even get mad watching him carve up Cubs hitters because nobody can hit him.
It's amazing what he does. He throws – he's got the power fastball, but then he's got that big Bugs Bunny breaking ball. No, I don't even know what – I didn't even pay attention to the velocity last night. But it was 74 miles per hour, 78 miles per hour. Then he's got the – he works both sides of the plate. He's got a sharp breaking ball changeup. I don't know what you do, and he's got deception. He throws directly over the top. He's herky-jerky. He doesn't allow you to be comfortable in the batter's box. And, you know, he's as good as I've seen for a long time, for an extended amount of time. It's absolutely amazing how he throws. And you know what? That's not how you would teach a person to throw, as a, you know, the technique and, you know, all the herky-jerkiness. But, boy, oh, boy, it really works for him. He's mastered his craft. But what a relief for him. You saw pictures probably of him and his family running around Wrigley Field, and, you know, that's one happy right now. That's a big big weight off his shoulders, and hopefully he can go out and pitch well in the World Series. You know, he actually hasn't thrown terrible in the postseason. He's always had that one bad inning, you know. But, you know, the Dodgers were the best team all year long in the National League. Besides about a 20-game period, they're hands down the best. And it was interesting. Their team was put together, looked a little more like old teams, like of the Yankees, and where they'd have a couple of really, really good players and then a bunch of role players that played well. But their relief pitching, starting pitching was very good. So they're going to be tough to beat in the World Series, especially being able to get a couple days of rest, especially if this goes to Game 7. Which I kind of anticipate it will, between Houston and the Yankees.
Plus, they get Corey Seager back. It's like one of your best players isn't even there.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. Yeah. And he's one of my favorite players. You want to talk about a professional baseball player. That guy is a pro of all pros. And, you know, the big difference between the Cubs and the Dodgers, they were very disciplined. And when they got pitched a hit, they didn't miss it. You know, you look at how many pitches did Chris Bryant get that he could have hit that he was just a little bit tardy on? And it didn't look like, you know, I think that was more fatigue than anything else, just the grind of the season, because he was getting pitches, good pitches to hit, and he just wasn't, he was just following him straight back.
You look at the two teams, the Cubs and the Dodgers, both big market teams, but Chris Bryant, drafted and developed by the Cubs. Kershaw, drafted and developed by the Dodgers. Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, drafted and developed by the Dodgers. So the impact players on both sides in this series were not signed and brought in from outside of the organization like you would maybe have seen 15, 20 years ago. That's all part of the plan. And Andrew Friedman, who is running the baseball operations in L.A., was with Joe Maddon in Tampa, and you know, everything sort of ties back into how you build a team. Yep. in this competitive market.
Well, look at the Astros and look at the Yankees; they both did the same things also.
And I'm not betting against Justin Verlander tonight. I'm with you. I think this thing is going to go seven. Who matches up better, in your opinion, with the Dodgers?
I haven't looked at that exactly. Who matches up better?
Neither one of them has a bullpen.
No.
that can match up with the Dodgers.
Yeah. Well, the Yankees bullpen. The Yankees bullpen is pretty darn good. It's got some depth to it with the power arms. It's a little different look. But the Dodgers are that bullpen's clicking right now. They know exactly when they're in. It's you know, when Clayton Kershaw knows when he might come out in the sixth inning. That's when you know you've got a good bullpen, because Kershaw's not upset when he's going to be coming out of the game. But, you know, I would still have to say that the Astros are a little farther along offensively, even though they're struggling here the last three games. Actually, in the playoffs, they're not swinging the bat quite as well as they did during the season. But I still think the Astros are a better team, a little farther along than what the Yankees are. And also when you get Keuchel and Verlander.
And Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
We got a really good glimpse of it, of just how dangerous the Oklahoma City Thunder can be. That big three of Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony haven't even been together a month, but last night, albeit against the Knicks, the trio played their parts to perfection, even if not every shot fell. To those who think Westbrook is some selfish me-first player who still somehow managed more than 10 assists a game last season, see last night as an example of what he really is. He's a guy who wants to lead his team to wins. He took 12 12 shots. He hit 7. His shooting percentage will be much higher because of the attention George and Melo will get. But he still had 16 assists. Why? Because he gets double-teamed and finds Melo, George, and others wide open. I'd bet you almost anything you won't hear Russ whine one bit about taking fewer shots or getting less limelight. You see, that's not him. And you can hate his style and occasional body language all you want. But if you like basketball, even a little, it'll be impossible to hate his game this season. In 60 seconds, the Dodgers roll, and then stuff gets crazy.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. An upgrade into a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Welcome back to the World Series, Dodgers. An easy Game 5 win over the Cubbies clinched that. Now, I could have gone to bed then, probably should have, but instead made my way to Thursday Night Football and saw the most incredible, ridiculous ending I've seen in a football game in ages. The Raiders' final drive against the Chiefs, down 6. I'm hoping you were up for it. After an initially called touchdown was ruled down inside the 1, Oakland scores another one with 3 seconds left. It's wiped away by offensive interference. So now we fire up the untimed downs. Chiefs up 6, remember. Raiders incomplete, Chiefs holding. Raiders incomplete, Chiefs holding. Raiders one more shot, touchdown, PAT good, they win. Wow. On a night where the Thunder rolled, Lonzo debuted, and the Dodgers did something they hadn't done in 29 years, a random Thursday nighter in Oakland, California was the real highlight. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Technical difficulties there. My apologies. Our segment with Jack Dom cut short this evening, and plenty more to get to here on the Todd Vrommelkamp Show as we make our way towards 7 o'clock in high school football tonight. Short on time here, so let's send it right back to Kyle on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update ready for you. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
24/7 Sports released the midseason updates to its top 247, which ranks the top players in all of college football. The highest-ranked player from the state of Iowa was Iowa State cornerback Brian Peavy, ranked 106th, followed closely by Cyclone running back David Montgomery at 108, as well as receiver Alan Lazard coming in at 139. The lone Hawkeye is linebacker Josie Jewell at 129. Class of 2018 Ohio linebacker Michael Rose was in attendance for Iowa State's 45-0 victory over Kansas last weekend, and it must have made quite an impression on him because yesterday he flipped his commitment from Ball State to the Cyclones. Rose is 6'4 and 220 pounds and ranked as a 3-star recruit by 24/7 Sports. The Rough Riders are off to a 1-2 start on the new season, and they're trying to get back to 500 tonight against the Lincoln Stars. That'll be at 7:05 at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school football, including a big one out at Prairie. Scott Unash will be on the call as the Prairie Hawks host Kennedy with the playoff spot for the winner of that game. That's going to be on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have Davenport North and Iowa City at City High. Alex Kuhn will call that one on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Tomorrow, we're going to have the Cyclones at Texas Tech on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as our KGYM Iowa pre- and post-game shows on the FM frequencies. And if necessary, we will carry Game 7 of the ALCS on all three frequencies.
So our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, who will the Dodgers be facing in the World Series, the Yankees or the Astros? Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. The Hawkeyes and Wildcats taking the field at 11 a.m. tomorrow in Evanston, and we'll have it all covered for you next. The third and final hour of the program, the Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement when we return after this.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks!
Cheer on the black and gold in your black and gold from BravoSportsMarketing.com.
BravoSportsMarketing.com has everything you need as a true Hawkeye fanatic. Game day apparel, football ticket packages, Hawkeye posters, and the popular America Needs Farmers gear. Get your hands on the new Fight for Iowa logo tees, available in black or gold. You'll definitely want one for the blackout game against Ohio State. BravoSportsMarketing.com also has game tickets to all home Iowa games. And BravoSportsMarketing.com is the only place you'll find Hawkeye Village ticket and tailgate packages, including your game ticket, tailgate-style buffet, musical entertainment, and more. Hawkeye Village packages currently remain available for all home games. Get them now. BravoSportsMarketing.com. Over 20 years of authentic Hawkeye gear for serious Hawkeye fans.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Line.